Deborah had to have surgery.
I had hip surgery in November of 2024.
Her UnitedHealthcare nurse, Crystal, checked on her.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell that she was struggling.
Deborah needed help.
My infection markers were through the roof.
And Crystal knew what to do.
I called the hospital and said she's coming in.
And got Deborah the help she needed.
Crystal and UnitedHealthcare saved my life.
Hear more stories like Deborah's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. So get in a Tundra with the available iForce Max hybrid engine, delivering exceptional torque and towing capacity. Or check out a Tacoma. With available off-road features like crawl control, it can take you beyond the trails. Toyota trucks are built to last. So don't wait. Get yours today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals and more. Toyota, let's go places.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Ooh. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
And a good Saturday morning to you. I am joined this morning by Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. Teresa, good morning.
Good morning, Denny.
It is a nice morning.
It is a nice morning. There's no snow on the ground yet. It's a
not
great
yet.
Morning.
No, not yet. I'm not going to turn off the outdoor faucets just yet.
Good, good.
I have the opportunity to look at a forecast all the time, and looks pretty good.
It does look good.
We could use a few more showers here and there, wouldn't you agree?
We certainly could. So that's everybody. Please water, especially your trees and shrubs, especially your evergreens and anything you just planted this year. That's really important.
And I think you and your colleagues have suggested watering until that ground freezes, if you can.
Until the ground's nearly frozen, yep. So that means you may have to disconnect the hose and drain it and then reconnect it again.
Oh.
That can be a hassle. And if you've got a sprinkler system, they're going to have to drain the system because they've got a lot of systems to drain. So you don't know, you know, when your system will be cut out. So that means you're just going to have to give it a good drink of water before the draining and then just water whatever evergreens, especially you can, as the ground starts to freeze and starts to get cold.
Very good.
Yep.
Any kind of a lawn or garden question, this is your opportunity. And if you're a regular listener, you know how busy we get. So call us or text us right now, 651-461-9226. Teresa, speaking of calls, we got one. Gene
Excellent.
Calling in from Stillwater this morning. Thank you, Gene. What is your question? Okay, we're going to line him up. I know he's there. We just got to make the right connections. Hello, Gene. Okay. Well, Gene can't hear us, evidently. So instead of that, and Gene, try again. We've got texters already.
Excellent.
So here's an interesting one that came in earlier this morning. The U of M Extension Crabgrass website states, in some years, pre-emergent herbicide applied in the late fall can allow for control of germinating seedlings in early spring, but this will also require a secondary pre-emergent application in late May or early June. Texter says, what does, quote, in some years mean? Is this one of those years?
I'm not 100% sure what the in some years means. It would have to do with when the snow comes, if the ground freezes very quickly, so that the pre-emergent is frozen on top of the ground, and then it gets covered by snow very quickly, and so it's just inert all winter long. If we had a long, dry fall and we got some water in there, that would cause that to get into the ground, and if we're not having... Obviously, the crabgrass seeds aren't coming up yet, so you want to hit those in the spring. So you just would have to figure out, has the ground frozen? And do you want to put stuff on frozen ground? And how will the snow melt go? Personally, I probably wouldn't. Well, I wouldn't anyway, because, as you know, honesty, I have no grass or no turf. But I would just save my money and do it in the spring. I wouldn't chance something like that. It can slide off. It can get in the water when in the snow melt. I would just probably just wait till the spring and then apply it at the correct time when you're seeing what that sounds like. It's trying to do is catch the grasses as they come up really early in the spring, maybe before you would normally put the pre-emergent down.
All right, very good.
It just sounds kind of, oh, there's so many variables. Just save right. your money, save your effort, do it in the spring, do something else, you know, drink a hot chocolate or something in the fall instead.
I like your thoughts. you know what? Jean is back. Jean is calling from Stillwater. Thank you, Jean. Did we connect this time? Good morning.
I'm here. Are you guys there?
We're here.
What's good? Well, I got a question for on dahlias.
Okay.
We're in the process of moving, and you know I don't usually dig them up until they're brown or just before it freezes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Is there anything I can do to preserve them? They were my mom's. It's probably 40 years old. I've got.
Yep.
Oh, there's
yep.
probably 50, 60 tubers that I have.
Sure. So what I would do is, number one, if you're going to get rain, if you haven't cut back the dahlias before you get a good rain. And this is just for Jean. This isn't for everybody. This is like an emergency situation. And then I would put either a light layer of plastic or cardboard over where the dahlias are to keep the soil dry, which is just the opposite of what I was telling everybody, to keep watering. But then as soon as you can, or the latest minute you can, pull that back, dig up all your dahlias, brush off the soil, put them in your bags or containers, and then try to keep them as cool as possible when you move. Then find the place in your new home where you're going to put them in the cool place, and just carry on as you normally would, checking them every month or however you do it to keep them the right right moisture level in there. So what you're trying to do is delay pulling them up as long as you can. But you just want that ground, when you do pull them up, to be a little bit drier, so it's easier to dig them and you don't have as much fungal situations as you would in wet soil. If you have to and it's been a rain and it gets wet, just dig them up as late as you can and get them into your storage in your new place as soon as you can. And of course, remove all the green stuff, brush them off well, and just get rid of anything that seems damaged, but then carry on and store them. And good luck. Happy new home. And good luck with your mom's dahlias. That's sweet.
Yeah. Thank you, Jean.
Thanks.
Let's grab another phone call before we pick up on text. Ken, calling in from Minneapolis this morning. Ken, what is your question for Teresa?
Yes, good morning. I have an established pollinator garden at my cabin that I planted about 4 years ago. And in the spring, I burn it off. I was reading about how you can overseed to diversify the plants. And I'm curious, if I do that in the fall or winter, that probably prevents me from burning it off in the spring. I'm just curious how
yep.
best to do that.
So, Ken, that's a good thinking there. So, yes, so what you would do, it's almost like the dormant seeding of your grasses. If you were going to dormant seed your lawn, you want to put down that seed as late as possible so that your other plants are have gone dormant, and the seed can just sit on top of the soil. Make sure you get as good seed to soil connection as you can, and then you want to do that hopefully just before snow, so that those seeds you put down are protected in the winter from the birds coming through on migration or eating them all winter long. And then in the spring, yes, I would not do any burning next year, because you want those plants to come up. And I would suggest that if you're going to burn your pollinator garden, that you maybe divide it into thirds and only burn a third every year. You want some of those pollinators actually overwinter in the grasses and everything and the stems. So if you're burning them, you're actually killing them in the spring. So if you have to, it would just be like the prairie burn they do at the arboretum, or they do a third every year, and that's just to clean off some of the above ground stuff. So you're sacrificing that organic matter and those pollinators, but it's only a third every year. So the other two thirds can still have more pollinators. But next year, yes, no burn next year.
Very good.
Good luck with that. Mm-hmm.
Teresa, hang on. We're going to take a quick break. Be right back on the other side. Your lawn and garden questions answered by Master Gardener Teresa Rooney today. Call us, text us, 651-461-9226. In the meantime, we are heading for about 64 today for a high, about a 30% chance of showers later in the day, maybe even overnight. CCO temp right now, 51. Stay with us. And welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show. If you're just joining us, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, doing all the heavy lifting today. She's doing all the answering of your lawn and garden questions, either by phone or by text. And as usual, Teresa, we have many text questions. 651-461-9226. Here's one that came in earlier this morning. When should I tip my roses for the winter? I'm new at this.
Oh, how exciting. Well, first of all, I wanted to say that is about the only exercise I get is the heavy lifting here. So thanks, Denny. I appreciate that. Anyway, so with your roses, you want to make sure, first of all, that you have to tip those roses. If they're a Minnesota hardy variety, you don't have to. However, if they're not, you do have to do that. The Arboretum, I think, usually does it about the middle of November, and then they pull them up the middle of March. But they have a crew that they have to get in there and a group they have to get in there. So they have to schedule whether it's the right time or not. So you get to play around. You get to be more flexible. So what you want to do is you want to get those roses tipped before the ground freezes so that you can still dig them. But you don't want them underground too long. So you want to kind of push it off as long as you possibly can. If we're going to get an extremely deep freeze, it's going to go down to 20 or something. Cover them until you can get them tipped. But then you want to do the Minnesota tip when you're ready. So put it off as long as you can, and you want to avoid a real deep freeze. You'd like them protected before then, but then you also want to get them in the ground before the ground is frozen. And I believe the extension site should have a really good information about how to do the Minnesota tip method. If you're not 100% sure what to do, you could watch them at the Arboretum, find out when they're doing it, see how they do it. You can observe them, or you can go to the extension site, extension.umn.edu. If the article doesn't make sense, or you just like to talk to someone, you can contact the Ask a Master Gardener and send them your question, and they will talk you or email you through it how to do it. They'll give you the thing. But basically, you just want to cut back the rose a little bit, kind of tie it up so you're not dealing with something that's going crazy. Dig the hole to the side, gently tip the plant into the hole, keep a string above so that you can pull it up in the spring. Then you want to cover that, maybe spray it with a fungicide. Then you want to cover it with a bunch of straw or a bunch of leaves, and give it a good drink of water 2 or 3 days before you do all that, so it's as hydrated as possible. Good luck.
All right. Listener says this via text, I have 10 Black Hill spruce trees seedlings that I got from the Arbor Day Society that I have started in 5-gallon nursery-type pots on my deck. Question is, should I do anything to protect them this winter since I plan on planting them next spring?
Okay, so what I would like you to do is you want to put those pots in the ground somewhere. Just heel those pots into the ground. On your deck, they probably won't make it. You need to get them in contact. You can leave them in the pots. Dig a hole, put the pots in the hole, make sure everybody's really well watered, and then as the ground starts to freeze, cover that with a bunch of straw or a bunch of leaves just to protect it. You're trying to pretend that you planted them, but you didn't plant them. They're still in the pots. And then you can pull them up next year and plant them out. But leaving them on your deck, they will probably freeze and thaw and be killed by the winter. Good luck with that.
Very good. My Wygela, Texter says, has severe brown spots. Should I cut them down or remove them completely?
what I would do is I would just clean up really well in the fall. So rake those leaves up and do send those leaves to the city compost. Then just watch the plant next year. It may need a little thinning, so you could prune it just after it blooms, or you could do some pruning in the late winter if you want to. Understand that you may lose some flowers, so pruning just after it blooms to kind of open up that crown, open up that plant a little bit. Then just see if you do get the same fungal infection again. And if it is a fungus, then you can decide if you want to do a major cutback, or if you want to just maybe wait for the third year, or not the next year, but the year after that, and then maybe start a spraying if you have to. But we've had some wet springs, and that can kind of set us up for some diseases, some leaf spots and stuff on plants.
Okay. Let us take a phone call, Teresa. Dorothy checking in from Minneapolis this morning. Thank you, Dorothy. What is your question?
Hello. I'm wondering if it's still okay to spray for Creeping Charlie this month.
It is. It is. Again, just follow the label instructions to make sure it's not too cold or too windy or too hot outside when you're doing it. But as we get into the fall and we start to get those little frosts, that kind of the plants then say, oh, you know, they really start to photosynthesize and bring as much energy down into their roots as possible. So that's the perfect time to do that broadleaf weed killing because it brings the poison into the plant better. Good luck.
Okay. Texter says this, if I dormant grass seed this fall, late fall, will it sprout before the crabgrass does so I can then put pre-emergent down next spring?
No. I think your crabgrass would probably come up about the same time. I think you're going to have to just deal with crabgrass later. So they come up too close together, and the crabgrass preventer would stop your grass seed from coming up to your turf grass. So you're going to skip that next year, or maybe do it very late once you see that all of the grass has come up and that it's looking lush and full, and you read your crabgrass preventer, and it will tell you how soon after those new plants come up that you can put the preventer down, but you may just be skipping it next year, which means you can buy another latte or something instead.
Very good. I like your thinking. this listener's qualifying the question to house plants now, this question. Will Teresa please explain the proper procedure for fertilizing plants? The bottle that I have says to fertilize every 2 weeks. Is that too often?
Maybe. What you want to do is when we're talking about house plants, you fertilize them when they're actively growing. Or if you have a special flowering plant, that plant may need a fertilizing kick just before it blooms. After it blooms, you want to check with that specific plant. Otherwise, if you're worried that it says every 2 weeks and your plants are actively growing, you can cut that down in half so you can still fertilize every 2 weeks, but you do it at half strength and see how your plants do. Each plant will be a little different depending upon what kind of plant it is, how much light it is, it gets, how quickly it's growing, how old and mature it is. So you can play with that. The label is the law, so you don't want to do more than that, but you can always cut it back to half strength if you think, gee, that seems like a lot of fertilizer for this little teeny tiny plant, and maybe it is. So then you only do half strength every 2 weeks, and you say, it still seems a lot. I can do quarter strength, or I can go to every 4 weeks and fertilize and see how it's going. If your plants aren't actively growing, you're just trying to keep them alive, you don't want to be doing a lot of fertilizing. Good luck with your houseplants.
Teresa, a listener wants to know, when is a good time to plant pollinator seeds?
Well, in the spring would be a good time. The pollinator seeds that need winter stratification, you would plant them just like you're dormant seeding your lawn. So you would plant them just as the ground is freezing, try to get real good seed-to-soil contact, and then hopefully then we can get a heavy snow or a good snow that will cover those seeds from the birds that we have in our, and squirrels and everything else, and the migrating birds and critters that we have coming through. Otherwise, you could try something called winter sowing, S-O-W-I-N-G, where you actually plant those seeds in milk jugs, and you set the milk jugs out in January, plant and set them out in January and February. They still go through the winter stratification, but they will sprout in the milk jugs, and they come up when they're ready. They harden off because they're out there all the time, and then you just plant them in your landscape.
Very good. Tell you what, this is a good time to have a break. and have a look at that forecast, see what the weather is going to be like this coming week. We'll do that. Come back with the remaining half hour of our Smart Garden Show brought to us by Great Garage Floors. Stay with us. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. This morning, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney is answering those lawn and garden questions for you at 651-461-9226. Lots going on. This is such a great time of year anyway. It's one of my favorite times of the year, but a great time to get to the Arboretum.
Yes, there's so much going on at the Arboretum. If you're thinking of getting a new tree or something next year, maybe planting a new garden, now is a great time to go out to the Arboretum, see what that tree fall foliage actually looks like, see how beautiful many of our shrubs look as they get beautiful fall foliage. Just look at the prairie. It's absolutely gorgeous. The dahlias are still beautiful. You'll find the mums out there are gorgeous. There's so much going on. There's the you can do fall teas. They started those already. The Dakota Sacred Hoop Walk is still going. The Apple House is open. The sumac, just absolutely beautiful. You can start to see like the beauty berries are turning purple and the mums are looking gorgeous. So there's so much to see out there at the Arboretum. And there's the scarecrows and pumpkins. So you get to go out and watch those. The little kiddos would like those too. But yep, get out to the Arb. It's absolutely beautiful. We have beautiful weather going on. There's so much going on out there. Enjoy it. Just enjoy it.
And get bring the family.
Bring the family, bring the relatives, bring friends, people you don't know, bring them, with their permission, of course. Yes, bring them.
And you got to go online to make reservations. If you're a member, that's another issue. But go online and, just go down the road a piece, as they say, and get to the Apple House. You don't need reservations there. You can just go there.
You can just go in and buy apples and apple things and pumpkins and squashes and magical things they have at the Apple House.
And mixes for scones, I found out, too.
I love scones. Okay.
Back to the...
thanks for bringing that up, because I haven't had breakfast yet.
All right. Well, we'll let you go just in a few minutes. Good morning, Texas says, when can I cut low-hanging branches of our maple tree which interfere with our lawn mowing?
What I want you to do is tie little ribbons around those. Look at the whole tree. You don't want to take off more than 20 to 25% any 1 year. So if it's going to be 30%, one limb gets to stay up there this year. But tie little bits of ribbon to those trees. Then you're going to wait until the ground is frozen. And after that time, you can cut them anytime until like March, April, when the sap starts to run. You can still cut them, but then you get a lot of sap running and it looks like you hurt your tree. It doesn't really hurt the tree, but it just looks that way. But you want to tie those little branches. You want to put something on those branches because once they lose their leaves, they pop up a little bit and you may not remember the ones that were hitting you in the face all summer long. So not right now. You don't want to do any pruning on anything right now.
Very good. Dexter says this, I have a raised garden bed that is 4x4. I want to plant fall bulbs. How do we keep the squirrels from digging them up? Can I put some sort of mesh net over the bulbs?
Okay, so depending upon how deep your raised bed is. If it's a small raised bed, 6 inches, you'll probably be fine. You can plant your bulbs. If it's a tall raised bed, 14, 24 inches, the bulbs may not make it through winter. But you can try. Keep them in the center of the bed. And yes, you can lay chicken wire over the top and just tack it down with some landscape pins. You could tip over, if you have carriers that you've used at the garden centers, the plastic carriers they used to send out when you were carrying plants in and out, you could tip those over and put a rock on top of it. That will stop the squirrels from getting out. Once the ground is frozen, you can pull up the chicken wire or take those little carriers off and let the ground be frozen, and the squirrels shouldn't do the bulbs. But now is a great time to get your spring blooming bulbs in, like your daffodils and tulips and all the minor bulbs. And also get your garlic planted. Now is a good time for that.
Very good. Texter says this, this spring I transplanted some coneflowers and Rebecca. They were in an area that had a lot of perennial weeds. I cleaned out the weed roots out of the flower roots and then transplanted them. They did great. I've never done that before. Is this one way to control weeds? I've always tried not to disturb roots when I transplant. Can I do that with other perennials?
So they got rid of as many weeds as possible. That's a good thing to do if you're putting plants in. And if you were talking, if you're putting perennials in, and I'm hoping I understood the question, and they're very root-bound, you can pull those roots apart a little bit. If they were smaller plants and the roots weren't very root-bound, then they usually just go off on their own and you don't have to tease them apart. I hope I understood the question. But that's a great way to control the weeds, is to get the weeds out as much as you can. If they're annual weeds, you just cut them to the ground. They're usually fine. But when you have your perennial weeds, and if you don't want them there, it is a good idea to get those roots out before you start your planting of your other plants. Good luck.
Now, there's a term I've never seen before, medical clematis.
I wonder if that's a
typo.
It's probably a typo, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, the clematis is on a trellis. This is the third year. They said we had about 6 blooms. What do we need to do to prepare for it next year?
Okay, so keep watering it till the ground is frozen. Not continuously, just make sure if we're droughty, you give it a good drink of water. And then you want to find out which clematis it is. So you're going to need the name, or you're going to need the pruning type that it is, whether it's ABC. And that will tell you whether it blooms on old wood, new wood, or both. If it blooms on old wood, the wood that's up right now has the bloom set for next year on it already. If it blooms on new wood, it will probably won't bloom on this wood that you have up. So that means you could prune it to the ground whenever you want to, once the ground is frozen. And anything that it sends up next year will have the blooms on it. If it blooms on both, that means you can prune it however you need to prune it for size and shape. But you do need to figure out which bloom type it is, which pruning type it is. And that will really give you instructions then about how to prune it and when to prune it. Otherwise, they do enjoy they would like a nice organic soil. So next spring, you can give it a fertilizer when it comes up if you think the soil's a little lean, or you could top dress it gently with some compost. And then just also do some protection this fall if you're leaving it up, so that the bunnies don't eat it and the squirrels don't rip it all up and cut your vine way back. Good luck. Okay.
Greetings, this texter says. What are some woodsy plants and shrubs, and when should they be trimmed or pruned?
Okay, so our trees and shrubs, we don't want to prune right now. They're getting ready for winter, so we need to just let them slide into that dormancy or their winter status, how they're going to be. If you're looking for some trees and shrubs, I would definitely go to the Arboretum and find the area that looks closest to your kind of shade and sun, and see what kind of trees and shrubs they're going there. The Extension website also has the Plants Element of Design Plant Selector tool. So if you find some that, oh, I've heard about this thing called serviceberry, you can Google what a serviceberry is and how it grows and what options you might have for your area. Otherwise, you know, just visit gardens that you enjoy, see what they have growing, if that plant would work for you. But we don't want to do a lot of pruning on our trees and shrubs right now. We just want to get them through the winter.
All right.
I hope that answers the question.
I think it does. Okay. If you want to call in or text in your lawn and garden question, here's the number for either 651-461-9226. This texter says, I have 12 sedums that became infected with aphids in early summer. I treated them. They did not look right, but they didn't die, nor did they bloom. I usually cut them back in the spring, but I'm wondering if it would be better to do that this fall instead.
Well, if they didn't bloom, they probably aren't going to be very good for winter interest. So once they die to the ground, you can cut them back whenever you want to. Otherwise, do clean them up in the spring. It's not normal for sedum to get infected badly or hit by aphids, but it could happen. The aphids are probably long gone. They usually, the eggs just get windborne in or brought in. So they don't overwinter often. Most aphids don't overwinter often for us. So you're not looking like a reinfestation there. If they don't look good now, you can go ahead and cut them back. If they did flower, you could leave the flowers up for some winter interest and just then cut them back in the spring like you normally do.
We don't usually, Teresa, as you know, get tomato plant questions
in October,
the third week of October. But here's one. Tomato plants look green and healthy. The tomatoes are nice size but did not ripen. Hard and mealy with light red and green stripes, both slicers and paste varieties. Mm-hmm. Any advice?
Yep, you know, stop the Canadian wildfires and let us have some less cloudy days all summer next year. We just didn't have the strength of the sun coming through, so we did get a lot of hazy days, overcast days. It may have been warm, but the tomatoes also need that sunlight to photosynthesize, and they weren't getting all the different rays of the sun that they needed. So it was just kind of a weird year. They stayed on the vine a long time. They never ripened. A lot of people didn't have them ripen. And then when they finally started to, they just didn't taste that good because they were kind of like past their prime on the vine, and lots of times they just rotted or they were mealy. If you've grown those tomato types all the time, many times, and you've had good luck with them, don't give up. Give it again a shot again next year. The nice thing about gardening is every year is different, so we get to experience a different thing every year, whether it's good or bad.
Yeah, I had similar with my tomatoes. They were okay, but maybe you're right. Maybe it was
not good. And because it was so, it might have been a little dry, we water a lot, which is what we have to do, but that also dilutes the flavors.
Interesting.
So if you're going to water, harvest your herbs and your tomatoes first and then water, and you might have a little more flavorful crop.
All right. Let us get back to the phones, Teresa. Pat, first up, calling from St. Cloud. Pat, you're on with Teresa.
Good morning. We have a shrub rose, and it's like 5 feet tall. Mm-hmm. It's bushy. And we didn't cut it back last year, but the first year when we were bought the house, it was cut down almost to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
When can we trim it back? Because right now it's kind of like out of control, and we'd like it down more.
Got it. So Pat, if there, and that's good. That's good that you waited the first year just to kind of see how it went. So what you want to think about is you want it to go through the winter with as much matter above ground, as many canes and height and everything above ground as possible. It's a winter hardy rose, so you don't have to do anything special to protect it, except maybe protect it from rabbits. But in this case, you're looking at, well, okay, if the rabbits eat it on the winter, that's okay because I need it pruned down anyway. Just would clean it down, prune it as you need to in the spring would be my suggestion. Also, if there is a cane or two that's like in the way, you can go ahead and prune that one or two canes back if that's the one that's going to like get into the snowblower, or it's going to be smacking people in the face when they walk near the garden or whatever. You can go ahead and cut that one or two back. But otherwise, I would leave it up big and strong going through the winter and then prune it back in the spring as you need to for shape and size.
All right. Before we break, let's grab one more phone call. Darlene calling from Northfield, Minnesota. Darlene, thank you. What is your question?
I have a huge bank that's a perennials. And there are some lilies in there. And I don't have time to cover them and cut them back this year. So I'm just going to let nature take its course.
Yep.
And I'm wondering, is that okay?
That's
what am I going to have in the spring?
Darlene, that's totally okay. What you'll have in the winter is a lot of winter interest. So you may see a lot of birds in there. It'll look pretty in the different frosts and the snows. It'll be in the spring. Some of those plants may be kind of slimy and icky. A lot of those plants you will find just melt into the ground, and you have a lot less cleanup in the spring. So you clean up as you need to in the spring. It should be absolutely just fine. Unless you had any big problems like with four-line plant bugs, I would cut those back first thing in the spring or last thing in the fall. They've laid their eggs right in the stem, so you can remove some of that. Otherwise, if everybody just maybe had a little powdery mildew or there was a little little things like that, it's no big deal. You may find that you have a healthier garden in the spring, not doing all that work in the fall. So sit back, enjoy a nice hot tea, and just enjoy your garden as it goes through the beautiful golds and browns that we get to see and relax.
And while we're having that cup of tea, we're going to take a break and be okay. Right back with the other side with more Smart Garden Show, brought to us every week by Great Garage Floors. Stay with us. Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show. Teresa Rooney, Master Gardener Extraordinaire, answering those questions. I just thought I'd throw that in.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That made my day. Thanks.
Very good. Well, it's well deserved. I tell you what, let's grab a phone call. Then I want to get as many texts questions answered as we can. Len is on the phone calling from Maple Grove. Thanks for hanging on, Len. What is your question?
Yes, I have a question about my autumn blaze tree that's about 3 years old, and the deer from the park reserve decided to use it for rubbing off their antlers.
Yep.
Do I have to do anything special for the tree bark? Because it's very thin, light skin on it now, so I just wondered if I had to do anything.
There's nothing you physically do to the tree right now. The tree has to seal up and take care of itself, whether it's going to come out of it okay, which it hopefully should. What you may want to consider doing, though, is protecting that trunk up to the first branch if you possibly can. If you do decide to put up a deer fence or something like that, go ahead and do that. That will also protect it. You want to do maybe a hardware cloth down below for the bunnies, but the bunnies will really enjoy that bark all winter, so you want to protect that tree up to the first branch if you possibly can, since you have deer in your area. And the deer probably will nibble it, so there may be ways where you could put a cylinder of wire up to the first branch, but then you put a bigger fence, a deer fence out, maybe 5 or 6 feet around, so the deer can't get in to get to the tree. Good luck with that.
Texter says this, is it too late to transplant a small tamarack tree?
I would say yes, unless you absolutely have to, because it's your building or anything like that. Evergreens need about eight weeks to get in, and I know tamaracks lose their needles, but they're considered an evergreen. They need about 8 weeks to get just adjusted in the roots. We don't have 8 weeks before the ground freezes, I don't think.
Yeah, you're probably right.
And if you have to, then transplant as quickly as you can, and put a heavier layer of mulch to keep whatever warmth is in the soil in there and slow down the freezing. And good luck.
This listener says this, I have a large septic mound at my cabin right now. There's grass on it, and I would like to change that into prairie grass. What's the best way to do it, do you think?
I would, first of all, Google 30 best plants for 30 tough sites. It's a book that you can get online for free, developed by the Minnesota Master Gardeners under the auspices of Mary Myers, Professor Mary Myers. They do have an area for septic mounds in there. I don't think prairie grasses would be a good option. They have really deep roots, and that might get into your septic system. So if you have someone come out and drain that or whatever they do, because that's magical to me, I don't know how they quite work, talk to that person and ask them if roots getting into the system is a problem. They say no, go ahead. If they say yes, then decide on other plants for that area.
Yeah, I think that's good advice. This listener says, you mentioned getting to the website. I don't think we mentioned that enough. It's such a great resource. And that is extension.umn.edu.
Yep.
You find all sorts of things on
all there. Sorts of things. And they give you October tips, gardening tips. Then there'll be November gardening tips. There's all kinds of tips how to plant bulbs and garlic and take care of your garden and put gardens to bed. And if you can't get on the website, and that's also where you can reach the Ask a Master Gardeners, or go to farmers markets and see if they have master gardeners there. Lots of us are still working the farmers markets and being out there to help our community.
Okay. I have, listener says, a number of hibiscus plants on my front step in pots to save them for next year. Can they be in an unheated garage, or do they have to be stored in a heated basement?
They have to be stored where it's heated. They can't take any frost at all. So if your unheated garage gets frosty, they're going to die. Otherwise, bring them in the house, treat them as a house plant, and good luck. And the extension website will give you ideas about how to do that too.
I planted, Texas said, the 2 6-foot arborvitae this fall. Do they need to be wrapped in burlap for the winter?
I wouldn't say wrapped in burlap. I would say water, water, water. They should never need to be wrapped in burlap if you've planted the right plant in the right place. So hopefully you don't have to do that. You can build a little screen wall that will break the sunlight or the wind from the west and the north. That will give them a little bit, and then also protect them from bunny and deer and whatever other critters you have living in your area.
Okay. My jade plant, Texas says, grew tall and lanky outside this summer. Now that I'm paying attention again, I'd like to cut it back. Any suggestions to get it shorter and encourage bushing?
Yes, go to the houseplant section on the extension website. You can trim that back a little bit. You can let those little jade leaves, as they fall off and you've trimmed, you can replant them. So you let them harden off a little bit, or you can stick the branches into some damp soil and see if you can get some of those growing if you want to increase your jade plant. But the extension website will have some good information about pruning your jade.
Check it out. My hollyhocks never flowered. Will I get any next spring since I didn't get seeds?
You should. Lots of hollyhocks are biennial, which means the first year they might just come up and have leaves. The next year they will flower, and then they will set seeds. So you may want to save those seeds. But in the meantime, you may want to actually buy one or two plants at the garden center that just or plant some more seeds next year so that you have the generations alternating as they go through. 1 year just flowers, 1 year just the basil leaves, and let each generation alternate with each other so you have flowers all the time.
A little over a minute to go. Can perennials like salvia and coreopsis be cut back now? I'd like to make room to plant tulip bulbs.
You should be able to just plant around them. If they're still up and growing, I would leave them up and growing as long as possible so they can photosynthesize. Otherwise, if you have to cut them back, you have to cut them back. But normally just wrapping them, tie them up a little bit, dig in, plant your tulip bulbs, and then unwrap the salvia should be just fine.
How do you know when tomatillas are ready to pick?
That one I'm not 100% sure of. I think because they would be firm, and I think the paper wrapping gets a little brown. But I would double check with the extension website. I've never grown tomatillas because I have less and less sun all the time. So I'm not an expert, and I don't want to tell you the wrong stuff.
All right, what you do tell folks, or really ask them kindly, is
I do.
To get to the Arboretum, for goodness sake.
Go to the Arboretum. Go to the Apple House. Plant some garlic and spring bulbs. Enjoy your garden.
Yeah, if you're not
going to... The snow's going to be here soon. Just
yeah, get
enjoy.
On the web, and so you can arrange time to get through the gate there at the Arboretum. Very easy to do. Mm-hmm. And if you can't make it this weekend, do it during the week, too.
Yeah.
I find that a lot of fun, too. And fewer folks, too, as a matter
there's
of fact.
There's fewer folks, and yeah. It's better for parking and everything because you do have to make your reservation. But it's absolutely wonderful. There's so much to see. It's a gem. Share it with yourself and your neighbors.
Got to run. Thanks, Teresa.
Bye, everybody.
We'll talk soon. Teresa Rooney, Master Gardener.
United Healthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in, here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at United Healthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. So get in a Tundra with the available iForce Max hybrid engine, delivering exceptional torque and towing capacity. Or check out a Tacoma. With available off-road features like crawl control, it can take you beyond the trails. Toyota trucks are built to last, so don't wait. Get yours today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals and more. Toyota, let's go places.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.